What an amazing day to come and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we believe that Jesus is alive. And because of that, we can have a great day. Because when we know Jesus in our hearts and lives and he transforms us and we know something of his love and power, we can experience his love being poured into our hearts. And that's what today is all about, really. So a great welcome to you all. Lovely to see you here. So as we light the Easter candle, reminding us that Jesus is alive, we pray. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith, hope, and love. For a new day has dawned, and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. It is an amazing, glorious day, because on this day, when we remember all that Jesus did to save us from the things we'd done wrong, and now comes the time for us to bring to our minds those things which we need to confess to God, those things we need to say sorry for, things that we've done, or maybe things we know we should have done that we haven't done. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 24. Starting at verse 1. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. I wonder if you've ever been left wondering what's going to happen next in an episode that maybe you're watching on Netflix or something like that. Or you're watching a film and you're thinking, well, what's the next thing that's going to happen? I suppose most of us now are used to either watching stuff on Netflix or in the cinema, used to watching action movies, maybe James Bond, who might save the world from Spectre, or movies like Armageddon, where the world is going to be saved from an asteroid that's plunging towards Earth, and Bruce Willis, the hero, flies up and sorts it out, doesn't he? Or maybe there's Star Wars, where the whole of the universe is going to be saved from the evil empire. Maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you'd prefer to watch some cartoons. Maybe somebody like Woody and Buzz saving the other toys. Or maybe Beauty and the Beast. Oh. Sorry, that's... I'll let you judge who's Beauty and who's the Beast. Or maybe Nemo being found. Or perhaps you're not so much into films and you like reading. Maybe crime thrillers, something like Morse or Endeavour. Or maybe a conspiracy novel and you're wondering how it's going to end. Or maybe you prefer to read a more romantic book where Mr. Darcy gets his Elizabeth in the end. But in all of those, there seems to be that mystery, doesn't there? What's going to happen next? Jesus, who showed such great promise to his disciples about being a leader, who was, in their eyes, going to lead them to freedom, to release them from the oppression of the Roman army. And all hopes seemed to be dashed. But on the other hand, we're so used to watching these movies that maybe we think that the Easter story is fictional, just like some of these stories. Maybe we think that Easter is just another great story. Or maybe we think it's a religious tale with a sort of moral ending, that it's a myth with a theological truth. But today I want to affirm that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was physical, was real, that Jesus, who died on a cross, was raised to life again through his Father's power, and that Jesus is alive today. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time." In this story, what we see is Mary Magdalene. We see Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, going to the tomb. And what are they looking for? Well, what they found was not what they were looking for. The first thing that surprised them was they get there to find that the stone has been rolled away. A stone that could have weighed up to 2 tons has been moved away. And what they find is not what they expect. They expected the tomb to be sealed. And so the tomb is open and they go in and they expect to find the dead body of Jesus. But they go in and they find that the tomb is actually empty, that Jesus is not there. His body is not there. And then they find something most unexpected. Suddenly, angels appear. And they ask the question, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." See, Jesus had been raised to life again by his Father. Death could not hold him. Later in the story, we see that Jesus appears to the disciples. And at one time, he appears to 500 people. This reality, that Jesus is alive, is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It's not what we do here on a Sunday that's the cornerstone to our Christian faith. The cornerstone it relies on, the central point, is that Jesus, who died, is alive. In fact, Paul says in Corinthians that if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, then our faith is futile. It's worthless. It's just rubbish. And we of all men are to be most pitied. But that's not the truth. Because Jesus was raised to new life. Jesus, the Son of God, who died on a cross for you. See, all the stuff that we've done wrong, Jesus takes in his body on the tree. And all that stuff that we've done wrong creates a barrier between us and God. And we can't have that relationship with God because sin creates that barrier. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took that sin. And it leaves us in a position where now we can have a relationship with God who is alive. Jesus has made the way to the Father for us. See, resurrection was not a reversal of defeat. Resurrection was not the reversal of a defeat. It was the demonstration of his victory over sin and death. Jesus, when he was on the cross, in those last moments of his life, cried out, "It is finished." The word he used is tetelestai. It means paid in full, complete, done. See, Jesus won on the cross your salvation. He's won you eternal life. And the resurrection proves what he has done. It's not the reversal of a defeat. But a demonstration of his victory over sin and death. So, you may ask, so what? This is the most relevant thing for every person here. Because Jesus has conquered death and is alive, he offers us new life. Because he is alive today, he sends his Spirit to come and live in us if we invite him to. And he empowers us to live that resurrection life. The song we started with this morning was that the same power that raised Jesus to life lives in us. But actually, it wasn't the author of that song who said that. It was St. Paul when he was writing to the Ephesians. And he prays that we might be filled with hope. But he also prays that we would know the same power in us that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Jesus died so that you could not only know him, but be filled with his power. On Good Friday here in church in the afternoon, we sang, "There is a green hill far away without a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified who died to save us all." And the second verse, I don't really fully agree with because it says, "He died that we might be forgiven." Yes, I agree with that. But then it says, "He died to make us good." I don't really agree with that. Jesus didn't die to make you good. Jesus died to make dead people alive. The Bible says that we are dead in our transgression and sins, but we have been made alive in Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't die to make you good. He longs for you to act in a good way when you come to faith and trust in him and are alive in him. But he's come to make you alive. And he demonstrated that as he rose from the dead. And Jesus says that we have to be born again. We have to be reborn. Not physically, but spiritually. And this is why I love having baptisms on Easter Sunday morning. Because this is such an amazing picture. See, when the people go into the water, what they're really saying is that I'm dead. And what do you do with a dead body? You bury it. And so what we'll do is we will bury people under the water. Just a warning, so you don't get worried. Some of those being baptized have asked that we leave them under the water for 10 minutes. Oh, sorry, 10 seconds. So that in their mind, they have time while they're under the water to think, yes, I'm dead to my old self. But then the glorious thing is, and I hope we're strong enough, is to lift them up out of the water, which symbolizes new life. And from this moment onwards, walking in new life with Jesus Christ. But this is only a symbol of what's happened inside. See, faith is not a philosophy. It's not just a mental assent to a set of rules. It's a relationship with a living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father in the power of his Holy Spirit. And this says, I have died to myself, and I am alive with Jesus Christ. It's amazing. This true reality that Jesus is alive. But it requires a response. It requires a response from each one of us. It's not just a good story that we can switch off at the end of today, like we would Netflix. This is a true account that needs a response from each one of us. C.S. Lewis, writing, said this, Christianity is a statement which, if false, is of no importance. If true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. So I want to ask you today, what do you believe? Are you alive? Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart and life so that you are spiritually alive? Because that's the offer that Jesus holds out to everyone today. And that is the testimony of those who are coming to be baptized or to reaffirm their baptism vows. That they have found Jesus Christ, the living Savior. And for many of you here, I believe that you'll be looking. You'll be looking for something in your life. You'll be looking to fill a hole that's there. You'll be looking to do the next thing that brings you hope and satisfaction. And just as the women went to the tomb, maybe here you came here today not expecting to get what you're hearing. But I want to tell you, this is the greatest news ever for everyone here. And if you're looking today, you can find Jesus and you can find new life. And all we have to do is receive. It helps us to say sorry. It helps us to say thank you. And it helps us to ask. And I want to make that possible for everybody here this morning. To say sorry to Jesus for the sin that held him on the cross. To say thank you for dying in my place on the cross. A death that I deserved. And then to ask him to come into our hearts and lives, to be with us forever, and to give us eternal life and the promise of his Holy Spirit, so that today you can know, you can begin to experience resurrection life in your life today. So may we pray. And as we pray, I would invite you, if you want to receive all that Jesus has for you today, really is just in body language to have your hands open and ready to receive. So often I think that when we fold our arms or do anything like that, we're actually saying, don't touch me. But if you want to receive something of God today, then I think body language helps us to receive all that God has for us. So just echo these words of a prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for all the things that I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong and all that held you on the cross for me. Thank you that you died for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of eternal life and your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Just continue to pray. Father, I want to thank you for those who maybe for the first time or maybe for the 101st time have prayed that prayer asking you to be Lord of their lives. Would you come now and fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you pour your love into their hearts? Lord, may they experience today something of your resurrection power, your joy welling up in their hearts and lives. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our heart's response is to thank God for all that he has done for us. As we pray together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we draw to the conclusion of our service, we would love to invite anybody that has any questions. There'll be a prayer ministry team who will come forward during this last song. Will be available somewhere here to pray with you and for you if you would like prayer. And if you're one of those people that prayed that prayer for the first time of inviting Jesus into your life, we would love you to come forward and we would love to pray with you and give you a booklet as you leave. God, who through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory, give you joy and peace in your faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now, remain with you this day and always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
thine be the glory.